Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.
20 years ago, for Hungarians living on the Austro-Hungarian border, freedom may have been at the other end of their vineyards, but it definitely belonged to a world beyond. Beyond what? Well, kilometres of barbed wire, along what was part of the so-called Iron Curtain drawn across Europe, one which divided Europe in half, separating East from West. And one carefully patrolled by border guards, both on the ground and high up in threatening-looking watchtowers. But in May 1989, something changed. The Hungarian government passed a decree approving the demolition of that Iron Curtain, along its borders anyway. And as these winds of change gathered over Hungary, word of these winds reached East Germany, where the people, thousands of them, little by little, embraced the news, trickling through the border to Hungary, eager to flee the grips of the stricter Soviet regime in place in their home country. They came with their families, filled camping sites, more famously squatted at West Germany's embassy and consulate in Budapest, or merely relied on help in their status as refugees, on parishes or other charitable organisations, such as that of the Hungarian Order of Malta, who set up refugee camps for them. All in all, their massive presence across Hungary created an issue for the Hungarian government, one to be solved. And then, in August of that same year, there was a breakthrough. A seemingly curious event was organised at Sopron, close to the Austrian border. A picnic referred to as the Pan-European Picnic. In an effort to find out more about this special picnic, which so changed the course of history, I turned to Walburga Habsburg Douglas, today a member of the Swedish Parliament, but in 1989, one of the key players in the organisation of this picnic. Let's listen to what she told me.
Years ago, precisely on the 19th of August 1989, the Vigil of St. Stephen, which is a national holiday in Hungary, you were in this nation and present at the so-called Pan-European Picnic in Sopron, just miles from the Austro-Hungarian border. This picnic, which was patronised by your own father, Otto Habsburg, president of the Pan-European Union at the time, was one which marked a milestone in the lead-up to the reunification of Germany. Can you tell me how the idea of this picnic, which changed the course of history, came about and what the intentions of those like yourself who were engaged in this initiative were at the time, of course?
I mean, it's definitely, it was like this, that the intentions in the beginning were not, as it turned out to be, that it became the biggest mass exodus since the building of the wall in Berlin. In the beginning, it was the idea that my father had when he was in Eastern Hungary to give a speech there, that one should organize a meeting on the Austro-Hungarian border where it should be sort of shown that Hungary is a part of Europe, Hungary should be a part of Europe, and Hungary must again find its place in Europe. So the idea was to make a meeting between two mayors and between the people from Austria and Hungary on the border. Because at the time when this was thought, that was the 20th of June, there still was not such an incredible strong influx of East Germans. And when this picnic was planned, precisely 1 week later, Julia Horn and Alois Mock, the then foreign ministers of Austria and Hungary, had a historical meeting in Klingenthal, also at the Austro-Hungarian border, where they symbolically cut into the barbed wire. And so we decided that this would be a fantastic possibility if we also might do the same thing. And so when the picnic was organized, we asked whether it would be possible to cut the barbed wire and sort of mount down the iron curtain, besides obviously opening a gate in the border. And during the weeks after this planning, when the planning started, the East Germans came into Hungary during their holidays, summer holidays, to try and find a place to escape from the Eastern Bloc. And Hungary seemed to everybody to be the precisely best place. And we, who were all co-organizers in the picnic, decided that it would be perhaps a good idea to invite these East Germans to come to the border on the 19th and participate at the picnic. Then we obviously had started to have the idea that this might be a chance for the East Germans to leave the country. So this was how the idea came into being. And besides my father, the picnic had another patron, and this was the then Vice Premier Minister of Hungary, Imre Posgoy. So we also had somebody from the official Hungarian government included in the preparations.
You yourself were involved in the preparations, weren't you?
Obviously, because I mean, I was in Hungary to learn Hungarian, and since I was representing the Pan-European Union, and since the picnic is called the Pan-European Picnic, we were co-organizers of the picnic. So I was involved, and I knew a little bit what was going on.
Can you describe the picnic? I mean, the photos I've glanced at.
Oh, yes, very, very, very well. The thing was that the idea was that there should be a picnic. The gates should be opened for a couple of hours. The two mayors of the adjacent cities of St. Margrethen in Austria and Ferenc Rákos in Hungary could shake hands and sign a paper of eternal friendship. Then there should be a meeting between the Austrians and the Hungarians, and it would be possible to cross the border at that place. But what happened was that first there was a big press conference, and from this press conference, we, the participants, went towards the gate. And the gate was supposed to be open, as the program said, in the afternoon at a certain hour. But when we came there, the gates had already been pushed open by the East Germans, who fled out of Hungary into Austria, into liberty. And so for them, for those who fled, it was not a picnic, it was a big chance for fleeing the hated system in the East. For us, it was a possibility to help them flee and then be present and see what happened and perhaps through our presence see that it didn't become a dangerous situation, that everything went on sort of rather well organized. And when the gates were closed again, which was after about 2.5 hours, we had the picnic, which was that we met on a lawn close by the border with speeches of the representatives of Imre Posgoy and my father, in that case me, and a couple of poets, of Hungarian poets and important cultural personalities. And the thing was that we who were there, we knew that something great had happened, because when you saw the faces of the people who fled into liberty and who obviously did not have the required papers to leave the East, when you saw their faces and their incredible joy to be able to leave communism behind them and rush into freedom, it was extremely sort of touching. And what I thought was very impressive was that when we approached the border, at both sides of the little road, there were masses of East German cars standing, the Trabants. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we all knew that if you wanted to buy a Trabant in Eastern Germany, it would take you about 13, 14 years from the first idea until you would have the car in your courtyard. And if the people just left this thing standing in the East and were themselves running into the West, you understood that they were really ready to start something entirely new, a new life.
Is there anything which struck you in particular at an emotional level?
Well, I mean, what I was thinking was very, very impressive was to see the faces of the people. That was very, very emotional, to see how they were not frightened at all. Nobody was frightened. I was often asked whether I was frightened, whether I was scared that something would happen. No, it was such an incredible, deep, deep, deep joy that they really had found the hole in the Iron Curtain. And that was one thing which I thought was incredible. And then on the other hand, which was also sort of very emotional, was how the border police reacted. Because, I mean, it would have been dangerous if they would have reacted wrongly and, for example, decided that they would have to use force against the fleeing people. But they decided that they wouldn't do it, that they decided against using force. They decided that they couldn't do anything with their bare hands to stop the fleeing persons. And they decided that they would just sort of lean back and enjoy, because the border police also are human beings. And we were very lucky, because the Russians had drawn back the Red Army from the western border of Hungary.
Clearly, it's not just the picnic that changed the course of history. There was a political build-up to it, wasn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, there were many, many, many things that helped to sort of topple the Iron Curtain, starting by the election of the Polish Pope. That definitely was the most important single factor, I think, at least. But then also with Ronald Reagan in the United States, that was another very important happening, and Helmut Kohl in Germany. These three statesmen had a very important task in changing the course of history. And I mean, especially Poland was an extremely important thing, because in Poland, not only did they sort of get a new self-esteem through the Pope being from Poland, but they also were the first ones who were capable of organizing free elections behind the Iron Curtain. The free elections that were held on the 4th of June of 1989, and in which the Solidarność got 99 out of 100 places in parliament. And then was the picnic, obviously. And after the picnic, there were many other events, like this human chain along the Baltic states. But the thing was that there were many, many different sort of single happenings. But I would say that the picnic is a little bit special, because the picnic was the first time that the people were fleeing in masses, you know, because it was over 600 people who were fleeing the East. So that was a little bit special, because before that it had been 2 or 3 or 10 persons who left. But there it was over 600.
Getting back to Hungary, I've heard Hungarians mention how what they didn't achieve during the 1956 revolution with its bloody Soviet oppression, they achieved 40 years later in 1989. Would you agree, and why?
Well, you see, I would agree that they obviously did not achieve it in 1956, but then it was obviously also a question of world politics, because many countries in the West had promised the Hungarians to help them if they would be ready to be the rebels. And then when they were rebelling against Russia, not so many really helped them that they had promised them. And obviously the Hungarians, who always had a special role in the Eastern Bloc, because they were the first ones to allow again private property. They were the first ones to have governments where not every single member was a member of the Communist Party. And I mean, in 1989, the president of Hungary, Bruno Straub, he was not a member of the Communist Party anymore. So you see that there was a big change in this country. And then somehow the Hungarians had decided that they wanted to be the ones who changed the course of history. And I mean, now during all the meetings that we were having around the 20th anniversary, I had the chance of talking to politicians who at that time were active in Hungary, many of them having been communists, now they are no longer. And they were telling what they did and all the contacts they had to make it possible that the Iron Curtain broke down. I mean, you see, It was so anachronistic in 1989 that the Hungarians inside their parliament and government already started to adapt their new laws to the European Union ideas. But on the other hand, they still had an iron curtain against Austria. This is why the representatives of the Hungarian government had very close contacts with Soviet government to say, we are not willing to keep that up. I mean, if we really want this Iron Curtain to be functioning, we would have to renovate it completely, but that costs so much money, so we rather think we should tear it down. So, I mean, the Hungarians did a fabulous job.
You were listening there to Walburga Habsburg Douglas, currently a member of the Swedish Parliament, who 20 years ago was one of the key players in the organisation of this pan-European picnic. Our thanks to her for sharing with us personal memories of this 1989 event on the Austro-Hungarian border, which eventually led to the breaching of the Berlin Wall. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.